Now, a couple of other interesting associations of Geraldine Ferraro, both of which can be gleaned from the major news media. I don't have them with me at this time because we're sort of running out of time. But Geraldine Ferraro first got her biggest boost as a congresswoman from a fellow named Joseph Califano. Joseph Califano was a former Pentagon official, a good friend of Alexander Haig, participant in the Bay of Pigs, and Califano was dismissed, basically, as Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare under Jimmy Carter because of his sort of reactionary stands on abortion and other aspects of women's rights. The fact that when Geraldine Ferraro's badly underfinanced congressional campaign took off, the fact that it took off with money secured for her by Joseph Califano from the Carter campaign is intriguing. Another interesting deal that, by the way, you can read about that wire service accounts of the Ferraro rise in politics right about the time of her nomination as vice president. Beyond that, Geraldine Ferraro's first press secretary was the widow of Santo Barrio. Santo Barrio was a DEA agent who, like so many of the DEA agents, appears to have worked both sides of the narcotics question. Barrio, by the way, died and appears to have been poisoned in investigation of a case, or perhaps cooperation of a case, called The Company, that we're going to be dealing with when we discuss the interrelationship of organized crime, intelligence, and narcotics. So, again, none of those associations conclusive in and of themselves. Together, it's an intriguing picture of some of the background of Geraldine Ferraro, and in light of Roy Cohn's devotion to Ronald Reagan, one has to ask whether perhaps the Reagan camp and Cohn in particular were aware of just what Geraldine Ferraro and John Zuccaro had to hide. Perhaps that was the reason they manipulated them into that position in the first place. And again, bear in mind the whole Watergate scenario where dirty tricks were used to help deep six the McGovern candidacy. That more or less winds things up for the prepared portion of the broadcast. I'm going to review very briefly what we've looked at because it's been a long section here. And again, I apologize for a little bit of bumpiness, but I've been talking almost nonstop here, except for that break, for almost 2 hours, and it's a lot of talk. By the way, broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC Los Altos Hills, reviewing what we looked at. We began by taking a look at Gloria Steinem, her association with a CIA front called the Independent Research Service, and efforts on the part of Steinem and associates to block publication of that information, first of all by Random House in a book called Feminist Revolution, then by the Village Voice, and finally by the Valley Heights News, a New York community newspaper. Then we took a look at further information confirming CIA association with the Independent Research Service, that from the espionage establishment by Wise and Ross. Then we next took a look at a more detailed account of the Independent Research Service's work in breaking up socialist youth conferences abroad. And in particular, we took a look at the fact that Clay Felker, who played a key role in setting up Steinem at MIS, was an associate of Steinem's with the Independent Research Service. We also looked at the fact that Catherine Graham was a principal figure in helping to get MIS started and also a major stockholder. We then looked at the fact that Gloria Steinem's paramour for the last 9 years, at least as of 84, was a man named J. Stanley Pottinger, implicated in an arms smuggling scam, and more importantly, J. Stanley Pottinger helped block the investigations into the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Orlando Letelier. After that, we took a look at the fact that Ms.'s first publisher, Elizabeth Forsling Harris, appears to have been a key figure involved in setting up the assassination of President Kennedy. After that, we took a look at the background of Catherine Graham, a principal figure in the whole Ms. axis. Catherine Graham, first of all, was part of an old boy network, which basically has been an old boy intelligence network inextricably involved with the Washington Post. Her husband, Philip Graham, worked with CIA official Frank Wisner in setting up one of the first CIA media operations called Operation Mockingbird. We then looked at how the Washington Post grew largely as a result of assistance from the CIA. We took a look at the intelligence background of Washington Post editor Ben Bradley, and in turn his associations with old chums Richard Helms, CIA director at the time of Watergate, and also a guy named Cord Meyer, his brother-in-law, and a key CIA counterintelligence official himself. We then looked at the fact that Philip Graham, just before his untimely death, became very disenchanted with the CIA's relationship to the news media, perhaps more importantly, began vocalizing this disenchantment. We then took a look at the fact that this vocalizing didn't last too long because he blew his brains out in August of 63, 3 months before John Kennedy had his brains blown out. We also took a look at how his attorney was key intelligence-related attorney Edward Bennett Williams, who himself has possible connections to the assassination of Kennedy. Following that, we took a look at the fact that Mary Meyer, the former wife of Bradley brother-in-law Cord Meyer, who was Kennedy's lover, was murdered in the aftermath of the Kennedy assassination, and her diary was appropriated by James Angleton, CIA chief of counterintelligence. We then looked at the proposed scenario by Deborah Davis that the CIA manipulated the Washington Post and used it as a vehicle for removing Richard Nixon because basically Nixon wanted to be too big for the system. And we then also took a look at the fact that Deep Throat appears to have been CIA counterintelligence official Richard Ober, again a long-standing friend of Ben Bradley at the Washington Post. Finally, we took a look at the close political association between reactionary attorney Roy Cohn, McCarthy aide Roy Cohn, and unsuccessful Democratic vice presidential candidate Geraldine Ferraro. Well, that concludes the prepared portion of the broadcast for this evening.